This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Chris Kerber talking hockey at 10:45. David Quidall talking Finals Four at 10:30. Martin at 11. Bob Ramsey 11:20. Some interesting changes now official in Major League Baseball. The most interesting one, Brian, is the one we just discussed. Go ahead, give our listening audience an idea.
Well, starting in 2020, they are going to implement a three-batter minimum for pitchers unless injury or unless the half inning ends. So you can come in with two outs, retire a batter, and then only face one batter and be replaced the next half inning. I just think, not a huge fan of that rule. You're going to see a lot of phony injuries from left-handed pitchers, or let's just say it's a two-run game, eighth inning, bases loaded, one out, and you put in, and Cecil is put in, or even Andrew Miller is put in to face like an Anthony Rizzo or a Joey Votto, and gives up a grand slam. You're telling me he's got to stay in the game?
And then pitch to Chris Bryant?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's when you remove him.
Yeah, there's plenty of examples of guys that just don't have it. You have to stay out there three innings?
Right.
That's like legislation?
Oh, my God.
That's big government.
For me, though, like I said during the break, you eliminate paying guys that are just one, two-batter specialists, guys that pitch 50 innings a year. You know, I think it eliminates that, and it makes it better for the fans that you don't see three or four pitching changes in an inning. And so I'm a fan, but I can understand messing with the integrity of the game, why people wouldn't like it. But for a fan's sake, a casual fan, I think this kind of speeds up the game and allows, you know, it's going to be hard for teams to it'll be tough.
That role of the specialist is going to have to go by the wayside because you're thinking, boy, if I bring in, we're all going back to Brett Cecil here, but if I bring in Cecil now, he's got to pitch to two more hitters? Oh, no.
And to be fair, I think to a degree that is going away in general, teams are just expecting kind of more power relievers to give you more than just one guy.
You know who I love as a reliever? Andrew Miller.
Right.
Will pitch in any situation,
yes.
Fifth, sixth, ninth, will give you multiple innings. That's a typical reliever. That's what I'd like to see more in baseball.
Now, this I love starting for 2020. The only major change for 2019 is just one trade deadline, July 31st. No longer the waiver deal, which I think is good.
Yep.
I think that could bring more excitement back to the July 31st trade deadline. For 2020, they are finally eliminating the 40-man active roster for September. It's becoming 28.
Yeah, that's great.
I hate how the last month is played under different roster rules than the previous 5 months. That's a bad rule, and I'm glad it's going away.
Now, if they want to bring up the kids, but they're not active, just so they can get a taste of what Busch Stadium is like, reward them for a great AAA or AA season, I'm fine with that, but you're right.
Was it 2013 with Billy Hamilton and the Reds? Like that's what bothered me, because he had no other skill set other than he was fast. He could not hit. But because the roster was so large, the Reds, in late innings, had the luxury of, hey, we're down by one. We have this guy really fast. He can't get on base. Let's just get one guy on first base, sub in Billy Hamilton. He'll tie the game because he's so fast. He'll score in some capacity for us by stealing second and probably stealing third. And then we can just readjust on the fly from there. So I'm glad that's going by the wayside.
All right. We're going to get Mr. Quidall on very shortly. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the Bomarito Automotive family. They sponsor almost everything in St. Louis. If there's a sporting event going on in St. Louis, high school, college, or pro, it's likely the Bomarito family is a part of it. They're in your neighborhood. They have one goal. They want one Bomarito car in everybody's driveway. You can go to bomarito.com. You can search through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars and see if they don't have the right car for you. The Bomarito Automotive family, they win state championship after state championship in terms of selling the most cars in the state of Missouri. And speaking of state championship, this is one incredible weekend for basketball teams, not only on this side of the river, but on the other side of the river, too. We have seven teams headed to Springfield for the Final Four. And, of course, we have East St. Louis and Belleville West headed to Peoria in Illinois for their state championships. Joining us now is a man who covers high school sports better than anybody in town, David Quidall. David, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm very well, Frank. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There is, boy, there's some great matchups. I wish all these things were on television. Let's begin with Ladue and St. Mary's. Ladue, that team of destiny, and St. Mary's and Uri Collins. How do you see it?
I it's hard to doubt the Rams. I mean, trailing by four with about 4 seconds left and finding a way to win in overtime is pretty impressive, which is what they did against Jennings in their sectional. I mean, Ladue's a team that has been down in its district semifinal to a Westminster team I think you know a little pretty well. They won in overtime against John Burroughs in the district championship and then survived a thriller with Jennings. I mean, that, like I said, team of destiny, that, I don't know, that says something when a team doesn't want to die when there's ample opportunities to do so. But they're going to run into the best player they've seen yet in Uri Collins, who I featured this morning on the website and in the paper. He had surgery in July on his bum shoulder, which he played hurt all last year with a big brace. He's physically as fit as he's been his entire career and has really showed it. He had a triple-double before, I think, the next-to-last game of the regular season, and he's really been directing traffic for the Dragons as a group that was overlooked after last year's roaring success, didn't quite go as well as they had hoped, has found its way to the school's first state Final Four in 87 years.
And you've been doing this for how many years?
In my current role since 2000, the fall of 2013, but I've been working around town since 2001 covering the kids.
Okay, so that's almost 20 years there. Have you seen a pure point guard better than Uri?
That's a tough one. Courtney Ramey was pretty doggone good recently.
really good.
He was really, really special. But Uri's in that class of kid, man. I mean, Uri is... I mean, at this level of basketball, good guard play is worth its weight in gold, and he might be worth platinum. He's just so special. Because, I mean, that's a team that started off the season pretty rough. I think they were 3-5 before he got back. I think they're 17-6 since he came back, something like that. And he's just been directing traffic and making plays and scoring the ball. He makes everybody better, which is what you really want out of a leadership position and a point guard in particular. So I don't know if he's the best, but he's certainly in the conversation. There's nobody better, put it that way.
Another great St. Louis matchup in Springfield will be CBC and Francis Howell. I was out at Howell yesterday, and I know there's a difference in the athleticism between CBC and Howell, but boy, Howell is so well coached, and these roles are so well defined. And the fact that they have all these different type of athletes on that team—they got football players, they got soccer players, they got baseball players—and nobody's better than Kurt Jacob, I don't think.
No, it's really neat to see that group play the way it has. Like I said, I've been watching hoops a long time, almost 20 years. I have a hard time finding teams that do what Howell has done so well this year. They share the ball. They share the credit. They don't care who scores. They can all score. All five guys on the court at any moment can score. So when Daylen Dalton is penetrating and the defense has to shift, he's going to find whoever's open. And it's either going to be a layup to the big fella Sam or maybe a three to Schulte or Matt Shark, who's been really good for them. And we were talking yesterday. I got to Howell about a half an hour before you did. And what really was neat was they were talking about in their matchup with Battle in the sectional game, that Battle had made a point that they were going to take a big Sam out, their big post. They were concentrated effort to keep Sam out. Well, Matt Shark had 34 because they left him alone. So,
wow.
You know, Daylen Dalton had a huge first quarter against Zumwalt South in the district championship in a game, you know, myself included, a lot of people thought would be a really hard-nosed, knockdown, drag-out, who's going to win it, and Francis Howell won it running away. So, I mean, they're so explosive. They can score from all five positions. And, you know, you talk about chemistry. I don't know if I've seen a better chemistry with a group. That being said, CBC is probably the best team they're going to see this year. They saw Trinity in the championship over at MICDS. Trinity got the best of them. They saw McClure North back at the last day of November for the championship at Troy, and they got the better of them that day. But Schulte, the St. Louis U soccer recruit, didn't play basketball for them that night. He was at a soccer tournament, so they weren't fully there. But CBC is probably the best team they're going to see this year, so it should be a great game.
And this Caleb Love, I saw him for about a quarter and a half at DeSmet about 2 weeks ago, and he looked like one of the better players that I've seen in years, too. At times, he just looks like he's on a different level.
he's pretty smooth. I mean, what was really fascinating was Saturday, Melville made in the quarterfinal game. Melville decided, geez, we're going to let Caleb shoot from deep because statistically he only hits about 27% of his threes. I think he missed his first 19 or 20, or maybe made one of his first 19 or 20 to start the year from behind the arc. Just not a great number. Well, he hit four threes on Saturday, three in the first quarter. So when he gets into that kind of mode, everything just opens up for him. He can put it on the floor and score. He's got a nice mid-range game. If his long-range shots are falling, and that makes him tough to defend. And he's another guy who's a very willing passer and happy to share the ball. I mean, Josh Wallace had a monster dunk in traffic after a nice behind-the-back pass from Love in transition. It was really a beautiful thing.
East St. Louis and Belleville West playing in different classes in Illinois. Who has the better chance to win a state championship in Illinois?
Well, if you've got Mr. Basketball on your side, that's probably a pretty good bet. But Belleville West and E.J. Liddell have the tougher task in that they have to see Chicago Curry, who is 34-1, has not lost to anyone in Illinois, did beat East St. Louis early in the season in an overtime game, I want to say near the end of November. So Curry presents a lot of challenges. But just record-wise, looking at Belleville West, they've lost four games, and I did see them lose to a Mike Bibby-led team I think Sierra Canyon is it. I'm not quite sure. But at the Bass Pro Tournament down in Springfield, that was the only time they really got beat pretty bad. They lost to Collinsville, East St. Louis, and then Alton. By those three losses were like combined, I think, 6 points. So, I mean, they've been in every game. They've won a lot of tight games. They've played a really great schedule. The Southwestern Conference with two representatives at the state Final Four is obviously pretty good, too. So I think Belleville West with EJ has the best shot, but you can't count out the conference champ in East St. Louis, because Terrence Hargrove Jr. has really led that group this year. He's been dynamic. They did beat Belleville West for the conference championship at Belleville West this year with EJ in the lineup. So I think we could get a 3 and a 4A champion out of that. I really do.
You know, the toughest decision you're going to have to make very shortly is player of the year, which is a really prestigious, great thing, the Post-Dispatch Basketball Player of the Year. I can give you your All-Metro team. It's going to be McKinney, Love, Hargrove, Liddell, and Collins. But McKinney's won his state title. Let's say Liddell doesn't and Hargrove does. Is there a chance somebody else could win the Player of the Year besides Liddell?
Well, what about Uri? If St. Mary's wins against Ledoux and then against Grandview, if that actually comes to fruition, not to discount Ledoux, just hypothetically, I mean, if Uri returns and that team wins the state championship with a group that a lot of people didn't think had a shot, I mean, that speaks to his case, too. It's just the level of basketball here, and you're very well aware, and I think your listeners are, too, has just been so high. These, I don't know, since about when Bradley Beal and B.J. Young were really making waves as sophomores and juniors and seniors. Like, it's just every year we have these high-level kids, and it just speaks to the talent and the dedication of these guys and the work they put in and the coaching in this area. There are parts of this state that wish they had the kind of talent that a lot of teams in this area have as their second, third, fourth best player. I mean, so I don't know, like, the player of the year is going to be tough. Last year, I couldn't split the baby, so we did Courtney and EJ. The year before, it was Courtney. So I don't know. And EJ's case is very strong, especially if they win. But Mario can make a case. Uri can make a case. TJ Hargrove can make a case. I mean, it's up in the air at this moment. A lot will be determined between now and Sunday night.
Yeah, and you pick one coach of the year, or do you pick it for each class?
We haven't done a coach of the year since I've been doing this.
Okay. So, boy, that'd be tough also, man. Oh, gosh.
Well, I mean, you look at what Brian Turner at St. Mary's has done with that group. You look at what Coach Justin Tatum's done at CBC with his group. You look at what Muniz has done with Coach Chambers at Eastside. Chad Anderson at Ladue, finding a way to get those guys to where they're at. It takes a village, and, you know, to make a program what it is, and it would be a hard choice for that as well. You are correct, sir.
And has anybody ever pronounced your name right the first time?
like on the phone when people call me up and ask me if they're soliciting money. No, it's pretty easy when I can screen my phone calls. But you've done very well. I do appreciate that because it is not the easiest name to say.
Well, I had a great help from our producer here, Brian. But David, I've known you for a long time. You do spectacular work. We got a text here earlier and said that's a great idea to get David on. He is the best in the business. So we really appreciate your time and you enjoy Springfield.
Thank you very much, Frank. I appreciate the conversation and the opportunity to be on the show.
All right. David Quidel joining us from the Post-Dispatch. Boy, how about that? I already had the All-Metro team. It's McKinney, who won a state. Love, who's got CBC in the Final Four. Hargrove from East St. Louis, who's in the Final Four. Liddell, who's, you know, Mr. Basketball. And then Collins. Who would be the player of the year? I mean, I guess if EJ wins back-to-back in freaking
Liddell's
Illinois.
Liddell's a stud, man. Liddell is a stud.
But if he doesn't win it, that opens up the door for Jory, or if Hargrove won it. So, you know, Hargrove and East St. Louis won the Southwest Conference over Belleville West.
Who would you take? I mean, obviously, if you're building the
long-term
team, yeah, would
Liddell.
You take Liddell?
Yeah. The thing about Liddell is he's so doggone versatile. Oh, my goodness, the way he passes the ball, he's, as Earl Austin said, he's the best shot blocker at that size he's ever seen. So, all right, before we go to break, quick word about Maryville University, continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Diversity and inclusion are key principles of the learning environment, and Maryville regards multicultural understanding as an essential measure of student success. Go to maryville.edu. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we're talking hockey with Chris Kerber.